and welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God speaks with a loving voice to us as He speaks to us in our heart. You know, when I think of drawing near to the Lord, I think of good things. Now, sometimes there's apprehension in that thought, drawing near to the Lord, because people judge what will happen based on how they see God and how they understand Him. Now, if you went to in the presence of a good president that you highly respect, before you enter the room where you know he is, you might straighten your collar, make sure your shirt's tucked in right. You wouldn't look slouchy. You would want him to see you at your best. And people who don't speak well, they'll try to speak properly or say very few words. And if they think that he's like a very serious boss, they'll try to look in place. They'll wear their best clothes. They'll do their best. They'll even fix their hair. Women go to the powder room and check their makeup. Because they're in the presence of someone they respect. Now, we're not used to kings because we haven't, this country have never had a king. President is the closest thing to a king. Governors, presidents, mayors, judges, people that have high authority. But even a boss is close to a king because he can determine whether you're hired, fired, promoted, or demoted. So in the presence of someone that you don't know what they may say, you try to be your best. And when you see them coming, you try to alter your course if you were wrong and look good in their sight. And so when people think of going in God's presence, it can be a scary thought depending on how they see their father. But when you're in his presence, you know that he loves you as a father does. Now, there's another dynamic we need to look into. One of your parents may be the head of a great corporation and other people revere them. That's why they call preachers reverend. They're revered by men. And others revere your parents. But then you say, well, that's just my dad, or that's just my mom. Because you know they love you, they take care of you, they serve you, they bless you, they feed you, they clothe you, they house you, they take you where you need to go. They almost pay for your whole life throughout life until you're old enough to take care of yourself. And so around your parents that's otherwise revered, when you're in that presence, you remember that that's just my parents. And if you're hired onto the corporation and you see how they're well respected and treated, your respect for them may grow. And you see how the judgments they have to make, and you learn why people revere them. You know them as a loving parent, not as someone who has to fire somebody with a family. Not someone that's watching out for everybody's well-being and dealing with difficult people and trying to keep cohesion throughout the corporation or business or church or whatever. And you learn to respect their duties, and you learn why, if they're grooming you to take their place one day, you learn them in greater ways, and you see the importance of why they do the things they do. And you learn, and you grow, and you change. You see them different. you have new respects for them. Now with God, all of those things are true. The Lord has to keep His word. He has to take care of heaven. He has to govern people. He has to judge people. So going in His presence can be a challenging, scary thing. So when we think of entering, drawing near to the Lord, I can see why a person can feel very challenged. But when you think of drawing near to your parents, and you have a good relationship with them, it can be enjoyable. It can be a blessing. You don't fear the worst. Now, while you're considering drawing near to the Lord, the enemy wants you to fear the worst. If the worst could possibly be feared, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He is very afraid of you drawing near to the Lord, and because he knows that the Lord will draw near to you, and then you'll find out that God is good. And you'll learn things about Him that's true. And you'll learn that you have victory that conquers the world system, that is. And you'll be able to do what normally could never be done. Because God is good. And He thinks of everything and everyone. He's considerate. And He has a heart full of love. But people who draw near to the Lord, they speak with more integrity. They operate with greater dedication. And they learn to live by their faith. Because they learn facts about the Lord and how He operates. They learn His word. They learn to navigate through this life because the Holy Spirit continually guides them into all truth. Because God is good. And the enemy is challenged when we go in God's presence. And Jesus made it all possible. Now, I don't get tired of going in God's presence. I love Him. I ask Him questions. I say, Lord, what is it you want to say to me? Because His track record. Sometimes I know there are points he wants to get over to me. And I know it. Sometimes I can sense it. And sometimes I just want to see what He'll say. Most of the time I just want to see what He'll say next. And when His word comes to me saying something, and I didn't pray for it, I didn't even know to ask, and He started giving me a teaching, I love it when it happens. And I got to the point where I started asking Him for it. I said, Lord, what next? The last things He said were great, and I want to see what's next. But He's always on time, and He can say things that can really make you think, and it's always a blessing to you. Now, the Lord He takes us forward. He helps us go forward in Him. And good things are in store when we believe Him. When we take Him at His word. When we receive His words. When we act on His word. Good things, great things are in store. There's nothing to fear. No reason to hide. Because His love is with us. Just like the revered boss I was talking about. Or the president or king, people of importance that can promote you in life, that can help you. Nobody can help you like God. Nobody can promote you like God. And God can promote, people can be promoted at the wrong place. And they get so attached to the promotion that they won't leave and go to a better place. They feel loyal to that company, which is great. But God can cause you to be promoted at the perfect place where you can do the most good and make the most difference. because he thinks of everything. In ministry, he'll send you to where he needs you the most, people that will listen to you the most. And you'll have a peace where he guides you. Now, that's true with everything he do. It may not look as good. Some people buy brand new houses in a nice neighborhood. It's the best of everything, the highest quality of everything. And everything is just wonderful. And then the Lord has sent them somewhere where it's not as wonderful. But because God sent you, that's where you'll do the most good. And you can cause things to go forward, to be better and better, to the point that those who hear and those who receive can be blessed. And they'll hear God's word. They'll receive you. And you can build a ministry there. And some of the best friendships will be formed there. Good things are in store for those who take the Lord at his word and trust him. When ministers start out in seminary school and Bible colleges and churches and everything's wonderful, they form friendships. They're around people of like faith. But the Lord has a calling for each one of them. They may end up in different parts of America or different parts of the world for that matter. They may have to communicate by telephone, internet, Facebook. But in heaven, you know, we can be reunited. But on earth, God will send us where we're needed. But you never have to fear the worst, because God is going to, he'll prepare you for what you have to do. You'll have a grace for it. You'll love it. You're going to love the will of God. Now, the Word of God defines who God is. And drawing near, you're going to learn things that you can't learn unless you draw near. Now, when I first started doing this broadcast here, the Lord gave me a thought about releasing your will to his. Sometimes we can be so attached to our will that we hold on too tight to it. But God has a greater plan. And he gives us that plan in seed form. He gives us something to do. And when he does, there's a charge with it. Just like every word that God speaks, there's a charge of edification with it. And you have faith for whatever it is God has spoken. And you can, that faith can grow in you, or you can diminish it. It's up to your will. But if you're in the cold habit of putting your will ahead of God's will, you might diminish the faith that came with that word. But as we receive his will and release our will, and we get better and better at it, we receive his will and release our will, we put our will in the back, put his in the front. You still know the things that you desire and want to do, and there are outcomes you desire, and there's always a way to get the things that you desire. Just keep God's will first. And sometimes people think, well, I have to choose God's will or my will. If I do God's will, I'll never do my will. That's not true either. Most of the time, I found that God, my will was included in God's will. To the point that I desire to quickly release my will into His. Now, release mine, put it on the side. We'll use it when we can. Put God's first. And what I'm saying is, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added. Your will won't be done away with, it'll be enhanced. And that's a secret that many people don't know about. Your will be enhanced. All of your interests, your might, your power, things that satisfy you intellectually, the good things of God, it'll be included in your ministry, and your joy will increase. See, when I was coming up, if you got called to the ministry, then your highest goal was to be full-time. That's all you did. And whatever career that interests you, you basically throw it away, and you preach, and you learn to live with it. And when the Lord called me, I was willing to do that, but I didn't know any better. The Lord is not trying to strip your identity. I chose what I do for a living because I loved it. You know, what other people like, you know, some people can't value what I like others. You know, like people who like me, you know, some people can't value being a mechanic. Some people despise the fact that they are mechanics. Somebody made them do it, they learned it, that's all they know, they can make the most money if they keep doing it. They're in a rut. They never explored what really makes them tick. But they learn enough about mechanics to make a decent living, and they can't make the same kind of money if they change course at this point in their life. They can't go back to school because they have children, they have people dependent on them, they have to make a certain amount of money. And their trade is not their passion. And when that's the case, you know, you really need God's strength when you're doing something that you have to do and you really don't like it. Your work is a labor. There's no satisfaction in it. My mother told me about a doctor that wanted to be a mechanic, but his parents made him be a doctor. And he finished medical school and he had a practice. But every time a car went down the road, he listened to it and he could tell you what was wrong with it. And I don't know how long he remained a doctor, but eventually he sold his practice and bought a mechanic shop and started doing what he really loved. Now that might sound weird to go from being a doctor to a mechanic, but you got to do what's in your heart. And before you leave this world, you need to do something that's in your heart. If not everything, at least some of it. You know, and the Lord can give you a plan of how to do things. He once told me that, you know, His perfect will was for me to have my own business. And I understood Him. But a business is very demanding. And I made choices to get in the work field. I wanted insurance. And so He allowed me to get another job. But I stepped out of His perfect will doing that. And then I wanted back in the perfect will. And He said, well, at this point, it wouldn't, you know, it's better for you to keep what you have. But I read a book by Lester Sumrall. And called Pioneers of Faith. I read the whole book at the beach one day. Me and my wife went to Gulf Shores and I read that book. I finished it in the hotel that evening. And I closed the book thinking of all the wonderful men of God and the things they did. I said, well, Lord, what's your perfect will for me? And again, He said, it's my perfect will for you to have your own business. So I started my own business again, but I do it part-time. The Lord had a purpose. See, tradition don't always work out. Most preachers, they want to go full time, and they try to find a way to go full time. And that's wonderful if you can do, you know, if God is in it, that's fine. Though I'm a minister, though I love to minister, though I love to teach, though I love to talk about the Lord, I still love what I do. And the Lord didn't strip away my identity. He uses it for a purpose. Because in the ministry that I have, I have to say things that's not always popular. And you'll be surprised, you know, the things that I speak whatever God gives. I don't water it down. I don't try to make people enjoy it. I just tell people what God said do. I tell people what's dangerous when it's time to tell people what's dangerous. I tell them that God hates sin, which he does. I'm not trying to win brownie points with people. I love everybody. But I am determined to speak God's word as he gives it. And sometimes people don't, you know, some people appreciate it and some people don't. On the other hand, there are preachers who say what people want to hear and they put money in their ministry. And some people like it that way. I won't do it. I will speak what God say, whether people love it or hate it. But I'll tell them the truth so that they'll know what they have to do to survive and thrive in this life. I'm not trying to be popular. And I'm not trying to take advantage of people. I'm not trying to coerce people. But I tell them the word that God gives in hopes that they'll be sincere with the Lord and draw near to him and receive his best. That's it. So, judging from the pastors the Lord used to send me to, I realized that my ministry is not always popular. It's not what the mainstream in those days was saying. Because I would minister what God told me in the throne, things that he spoke as I drew near to him. Some people would, older pastors, people would get offended because somebody younger would know things. I learned it from the Lord, like anybody can. I couldn't control how people took it. But I knew that people, you know, a lot of people may not support me. And a lot of good ministers, their voices are silent because they don't know how to go forward with a message that's not popular. Now, Timothy said that they are heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. This is a persuasion that's in the world now. This is how cold religion thrives and breeds among the people of God. People heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they don't endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is not something that people always embrace. But if they do, they're going to learn goodness of God. And some people, they follow God afar off, thinking God is going to get them, thinking God is going to still take that candy from them and not give them joy and make them do something that they don't want to do. Send them to a remote part of the world where there's no McDonald's and no Applebee's and no Chili's and no favorite restaurant, no malls, where they have dirt floors and they have to go carry water for miles and miles. They think that God is going to... God, the people that God send to places like that, they want to be there. Because God gave them a passion for it. And some of them are doctors, and they just love people so much they want to go and help people that can't help themselves. But they have an anointing for it, like we talked about in the last broadcast. If you have an anointing for something, you can do it greater. If you don't have an anointing for it, you won't fit. And you'll be there grudgingly. And God don't want you doing His work grudgingly. He wants you to be willing and obedient. And whatever He gives you to do will fit. And whatever your talents are, whatever you're good at, whatever makes you tick, the Lord can show you, yes, you, how to use it in His perfect will for your life. I used to think that the Lord wanted me to have my own business for a while, for a stage. But no, He gave it to me for as long as I live. That's His perfect will for me. So I got back into the perfect will of God. I just don't have a shop. I have to use my garage, and I work where my license is transient. So, but I'm still doing what I have to do, and I can support the ministry that God has given me. And I'm happy. And when my change come, my change come. I believe God's going to cause me to become very wealthy. It's been prophesied, and I believe all of it. And the Lord has blessed me in my business. And I thank Him for it. But I am willing to turn wrenches the rest of my life and minister however and wherever God wants me to do it. But I'm working on getting all of my debts paid and putting money aside to do the things that I have to do. I have goals and plans. And I don't spend extravagantly. I buy what I need and what I desire. But I don't waste. I don't buy everything that catches my eye. Because doing His work is more important. And I believe in being faithful because God is good. And He'll show you how to do what you have to do. And different people are at different stages in their life, and they have to deal with things at the stage that they're at. And when you're in the building stage, you just build till you continue until you complete it, and you go to something greater. No harm, no foul. But God is good. And if you what I'm saying is, if you release your will into His, you're continually learning from Him, you won't be so quick to draw back. I'm not afraid that God will give me something that I don't want to do. I'm not afraid that He'll give me something that I'm afraid to do. But I started confessing so that I don't change my mind and deviate. I would say, I will do all that's in His heart. And I work to do all that He say do. Everything in His heart, that's what I want to be found doing. With integrity and with dedication. Because I love Him and I love His people. And I believe in what I'm doing. I don't have a doubtful disposition against the things that I'm trying to do. Everything the Lord tell me, I believe it. Because He's never lied to me, and He always